The stock market got off to a rough start today, dragged down in part by Apple, which announced a disappointing sales forecast for the iPhone X, one of the biggest products of the year from Silicon Valley. Joining us to look back at 2017 in tech is our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Kara Swisher is executive editor of Recode and host of the podcast Recode Decode. Kara, welcome. And let's start with Uber. Just last week, the European Union's highest court declared Uber a taxi service, which means stronger regulations for the company. But it has been a tough year for Uber and its former CEO, Travis Kalanick, starting back in January with the protest hashtag Delete Uber. Remind us what happened.
Well, what happened was, in that case, it wasn't really Uber's fault. It was there were issues around the immigration ban that President Trump was attempting to put into place. And so it seemed there was a protest at one of the airports, I think JFK, and it seemed as if Uber was taking advantage of the situation by jacking prices, essentially. And they actually weren't, but they were trying to get cars there to get people there. Mm-hmm. But Travis had such a bad record in general of abusing consumers, drivers, and their own employees, nobody believed them. And so they started this Delete Uber campaign. And he was also on the board of one of the president's business boards, which have since been disbanded because everybody quit them. It just was it was the beginning of a really bad year for Travis Kalanick, much of it self-inflicted, almost all of it pretty
much. What about for Uber? Does Uber end the year in a stronger or weaker position than it started?
Well, you know, it's a question. It's a big question because they have a new CEO. They had almost constant dramatic upheaval in the boardroom, a dysfunctional board, a dysfunctional management system. And, of course, it was all set off by Susan Fowler, who was an engineer there, who wrote a really devastating blog post about what it was like to work at Uber as a woman, which painted a really ugly picture of the company.
And do you think that they've made changes that will fix that image problem for Uber?
Well, they fired the CEO, so that was one move, and the founder. He's one of the founders. He's still on the board, though, and a major shareholder. And so we'll see. You know, the new CEO, Dara, is really he's from Expedia. He was the CEO of Expedia, and he's very adult, and he's very mature. So we'll see if he can do it. But a lot of people feel that the idea of sort of the pirates of Uber's era, which grew them to the large size they have been at, is over.
What about more broadly in Silicon Valley, not just Uber, but the issue of sexual harassment? How did that unfold this last year in the tech sector?
Well, again, it came out of the Uber, the Susan Fowler blog post, right, which sort of put focus on that idea of that women are treated badly at companies. Now, Uber is just the quintessence of that. But as the year progressed, people began to uncover and finally write about a lot of the abuses, including among some venture capitalists and behaviors. And women just around the whole Me Too idea began to talk about those behaviors. I think every single company was impacted. We actually wrote a story very early in the year about someone Uber had hired from Google who had been the subject of a sexual harassment investigation. And Uber didn't know that when they hired him. And I pointed it out to them, actually, and they fired him. They ended up firing him. So, you know, it's been a long year of, I mean, I think it's called the reckoning or whatever you want to call it. But it's certainly washed through tech, and it's not over for sure.
Has it been different, though, in the tech world than in Hollywood or on Wall Street or in Washington?
Different in that it's the same vile behaviors. And, you know, it was started off a long time ago by the Ellen Pao trial, you know, when people were focused on gender discrimination. And the numbers are still terrible, not just for women, but in age and with people of color. The diversity numbers are still, you know, staggeringly white and male.
Much of the news this year has been dominated by President Trump's first year in office. But tied into that is Russian interference in U.S. elections, which includes the use of social media. Russian ads and posts may have reached 126 million users through Facebook alone. How big a deal was this for companies that had to deal with that issue, like Facebook, Twitter, and Google?
Well, I think it's a big deal. I mean, they were slow to understand how important this issue was. But I think we can call this the year of the weaponization of social media and the resulting impact on the election, which I think will never be known, probably. But it certainly, you know, we had another government interfere in our election using tools that we created in this country, which is kind of ironic in many ways. And then the companies in question not having control of their platforms enough to understand what had been perpetrated upon them, the propaganda, the persistent favoritism toward Trump. So it was, you know, there's never – I don't think they're ever going to figure out exactly what the level of incursion was, but it's essentially a hacking of democracy.
One of my favorite stories of the year in any sector was the announcement from Amazon that it would start looking for the site of its second headquarters. Yeah. Basically, every city in America, almost every city.
Stunt. It was a perfect stunt.
And they all wanted it. What is it about this? I mean, did that surprise you what the reaction was to that?
You know, it's exciting that they're coming up with another headquarters somewhere, and they're trying to I think Jeff Bezos is trying to get ahead of the idea of Amazon as this scary monster that's taking over and killing retailers all across the country. And so I think they wanted to get ahead of it by doing this thing, which I think every city in America sent them a video saying, please come to our city. It's almost like sports teams, right? It reminds you of that. That said, you know, they will bring a lot of interesting jobs to whatever city they pick.
What city are they going to pick, Kara?
I don't know. I'm going with Pittsburgh. With Pittsburgh for me. That's my choice. And then maybe Nashville. I mean, one of the problems Amazon has is they certainly have to locate somewhere that's within the range of their employee base, which is quite tolerant and much more liberal. And so they're not going to want to locate in a state where they, you know, pass transgender bathroom laws. I mean, they'll just have to leave because there'll be a backlash among their own employees. And so it's going to be an interesting choice, you know, and that's it goes around the responsibility of tech companies to the society at large, which I think is one of the biggest stories, is how much of a responsibility does tech have for its inventions and the impact of its inventions on the rest of the body politic, essentially.
We had a lot of hacking this year, like 100 million plus Americans affected by various hacks. Is that the new normal, do you think?
It's really disturbing. It's certainly disturbing. I mean, the idea that everything is online, your whole life is online. And again, it's a responsibility of these tech companies. I mean, Equifax is really one of the real villains this year in terms of how they behaved around this hacking. They had a patch to fix it. They didn't fix it. They weren't paying attention to the way people, you know, use how important privacy is and how important it is for them to protect your privacy. They were incredibly careless, and it resulted in this hacking. I think the thing is realize all the things you can do to protect your information and the fact that you're not really that protected.
One more thing we have to talk about, and that is Bitcoin.
Yes, Bitcoin.
Exactly.
I knew it.
I mean, it's just been going through
Ethereum,
the roof.
You know, it's not. There's Litecoin.
Right.
There's a lot of them. There's a couple of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think drove Bitcoin this year? Why is it doing so well?
Well, I think insecurity, economic insecurity, and there's a lot of stuff going on in China being bought. You know, it's a global phenomena, and so it's not really – it's also speculative. I mean, a lot of people are comparing it to the early internet and that everybody thought the early internet was sort of a scam and then it wasn't, except everyone knew what the internet was for. I think Bitcoin doesn't have a use right now. Consumers that are buying it don't use it to buy things or to buy houses or real estate or all the different ideas around blockchain technology of how it's going to change the way we transact. And I think that's a huge idea. That is an enormous idea. It's just a question whether Bitcoin's going to be the currency. And then the other one's Ethereum, which the founder is purporting that it's a platform to do transactions on in the blockchain technology. And then there's Litecoin.
Right.
So, you know, directionally, it's correct, this idea of changing currency, changing transactions, how we interact. I'm not so sure that, you know, but people made a lot of money. So what am I? I actually bought Bitcoin a long, long time ago, and I've lost it. Like, that's the problem. It's not like a bank account. Like, I mean, it is, but it's a bank account. I forgot. I did a story on it for whenever it started. Bought a couple of Bitcoin for a couple $100 each, or I think they were $600.
Well, you'd be and now, so rich right now if you had.
I am. I just can't find them. I think I have 10 Bitcoin somewhere, and I just was so careless with them that I didn't think that was that big a deal. And I can't find them where I put them. I don't know. So,
well,
I am rich.
I saw a tweet by a reporter who said that they had done a story a few years ago about Bitcoin and took a group of people out to a sushi dinner. And she said, now that dinner would be $99,000.
So, yeah, I know. It's crazy. Oops. It's, you know, it's one of those FOMA stories. It's the biggest FOMA story. I should have bought it. Even earlier this year, it's up 8,000%, some number.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of friends who were into it a long time ago, and they are very wealthy. I would personally sell it immediately if I were them, but they want to hold it. These people, Bitcoin people want to hold this stuff. They
think it's going to the moon. They think it's going to go to $100,000 or $500,000.
Well, if it's too good to be true, I don't know. That doesn't change year to year, I don't think.
That's Kara Swisher, who is executive editor at Recode. Kara, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.